Good afternoon, Congressman Huffman. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with KMUD News, as these past 3 weeks have been among the most hectic and consequential in recent American history. So to start, I'd like to give you the floor.
Well, you said it, Lauren. It has been a bit overwhelming, certainly for the lay persons out there, that, you know, whoever they voted for in the election, they didn't think they were getting this. I am not terribly surprised because, as you remember, I spent a lot of the summer and fall warning about Project 2025, and so much of what we are seeing, the shock and awe blitzkrieg of executive orders and the hiring freeze and spending freeze and all of these other things are right out of the pages of Project 2025. I guess the twist that, you know, we didn't expect is Elon Musk and this crew of tech bros, you know, running through agency after agency, doing things that they have no clearances or authorizations to do. So it's chaotic and it's worrisome, and I am spending 24/7 dealing with it.
You actually co-founded the Stop Project 2025 Task Force, warning about its goals. Trump had denied ties to it, but we now see Vogt, a key figure in its blueprint, leading the Office of Management and Budget. How much of Project 2025 is already being implemented, and do you think they will attempt to make its full plan come to fruition?
Yeah, well, huge blocks of it are rolling out. You know, in my lane, the Natural Resources Committee, they are already, you know, proposing that we undo monument designations, that we repeal the Antiquities Act, that we, you know, devolve a whole bunch of public lands back to states and local governments, and or just sell them off. So, you know, it's just one of many areas. I mean, they're definitely getting ready to try to eliminate the Department of Education, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. They have tried to bring all of these independent agencies under, you know, direct control of Trump, including the Department of Justice with all their firings. And we now see, you know, DOJ, you know, taking political orders from the top and dropping charges against Eric Adams and doing retribution tours. So, you know, all of this is just exactly the Project 2025 playbook.
Trump's new Department of Government Efficiency, run by billionaire Elon Musk, has already resulted in a federal funding freeze, layoffs, and the shutdown of USAID. What are the consequences of these actions, and how is Congress able to respond?
Yeah, so there's several consequences. There's sort of the immediate, you know, what's going on in these agencies and programs and in the millions of Americans who depend on them in their lives. It's chaos. I mean, payments have stopped. In some cases, employees have been told they no longer have a job. Programs are shutting down. It's complete chaos all over the world, actually, because in some cases we had, you know, clinical drug trials underway in foreign countries that we were funding through, you know, programs that Elon Musk has purported to eliminate. And you know, things like that in Indian country. You know, I have all of these tribes I represent on the North Coast, and whether it's infrastructure or restoration projects or fire resiliency project, controlled burns, vegetation treatment, fuel load reduction, I mean, it's just stopped. And no one knows when the funding will flow again or even if it will. You know, Trump has purported to issue an executive order just basically saying, do not implement the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act, all of that stuff. He wants to, you know, act like a king and I guess pretend that he can just ignore the law and shut it down. And so all these agencies have stopped. And it is enormously disruptive. We could lose an entire year of, you know, restoration and fire resiliency projects because, you know, you have a window of a few months to do them. And no one knows when we'll get back to work. The other bigger impact is constitutional. When you have a president pretending to have all this authority to override the law, and in some cases just totally disregard what Congress has enacted in its federal funding bills, that is a constitutional crisis, and now you have courts telling the president that, no, you've got to comply with the law, and the president is hinting that he may ignore court orders. So that, too, is a constitutional crisis.
Are you seeing any of your Republican colleagues push back, either in public or in private?
No. No, they're along for the ride here. The pushback is coming from the courts and, you know, to some extent, from the public, although, you know, the public reaction to all of this has been mixed. There are people out there who, you know, may not be civically informed, and they think that it's kind of cool that this is, you know, shaking things up. Looks like action. Looks like change. Once the consequences to a lot of these things start to get real for people, it's not going to be popular. But, you know, right now in the short term, Trump and Elon think that they've got the public on their side.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has been very vocal in calling the new government an oligarchy. Do you agree with that characterization?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I was at the inauguration because I'm the ranking member now of the Natural Resources Committee, and there's a traditional lunch with the president and his family and others right afterwards. And I was just shoulder to shoulder with more than a dozen billionaires, the richest people in the world. You know, Tim Cook and the guy from Google and Elon and Bezos and, you know, all of these people in one place just sucking up to Donald Trump. And he loves it and they love it. And I promise you, their agenda is not about working families and rural communities or any of the other folks that I represent.
Given the Republican majority in Congress and Trump's aggressive executive actions, how can Democrats fight back? And do you believe that the party needs to rethink its strategy?
We're trying to constantly rethink strategy because this is a moment where we've got to get it right. The stakes are too high. But here's the thing, Lauren. I know there's tremendous angst out there and fear and worry, and I feel it all too. And I'm trying to get in the arena every day and make a difference and try to push back. But there's no operating manual for what we are experiencing right now. We've never seen anything like it. And so we are, I think, finding our way. I think the leadership in the House Democratic Caucus is really starting to figure out some ways that can be quite effective. But we got to do a better job of letting the public know exactly what we're doing, kind of provide them that reassurance, because people are just so scared right now.
Anything else you would like to leave our listeners with today, Congressman Huffman?
Not necessarily, other than I'm doing everything I can, and I will try to up my communications game as well, because I know people want to hear what's going on, and so I'm going to do more town halls. If you follow my, you know, email list or my social media feeds, it's going to be much, much more active, because we're just going to try to push out a lot of information that I know people want to see.